Do I have a Ted or a Julie that just walked in?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
I wanted to give that back to you. Let's make sure those, but it won't matter if you don't have it done all now.
This is like a continuation of something that already started.
We just started 1 minute ago.
Okay.
The blessing about this, and maybe the other side of the blessing about this, is that when we take a test like this, it's really fun to know exactly how a number comes out. And it really doesn't work that way. Hope we'll get an idea or a leaning or a direction or a suggestion. When I first was working with the Enneagram, I would say, and the numbers will mean more to you in a few minutes, but I would say, because the person that ran the workshop, and he's really good at what he does, was convinced that I was a 9 on the Enneagram, and I was a 9 for about 2 years, until I figured out I wasn't a 9. So it's easy enough to have characteristics because of the 9 types that you have, and on the little handout that I gave you, I'm not asking you to read through it, but you can see there are 9 types, and we'll talk a bit about all of those 9, and it starts with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and even has one little label on this, and if there aren't enough, I have plenty more of those. Everybody have one of these, or? So what we do is, and let me say this and do it like Mark Twain, you tell them what you tell them, and you tell them, and you tell them what you told them. What we'll do is give enough of a framework that you say, I think that fits for me. The thing that we run into a lot is that all of us have traits of all 9 styles. And in certain settings, we would clearly operate that way. So to get my type sometimes takes a little bit of work. And what I'll have us do today is get a better sense, either from the score you had on your sheet, which may be very clear, or it may not be, but it may be clear, and I want to ask in a moment some folks that really know the Enneagram, because I've been hearing talk around the village, and there's some folks that have really done some Enneagram work who are here, who have gotten in this ear and gotten in that ear, and this training I had, and boy, that book, and it's just pretty amazing. And what I find the very, very best way to work with that is to go through the elimination process. There are 9 types. And it gets pretty quick and pretty easy to say, well, I'm certainly not one of those. And I know I'm not one of those. Not like it's pejorative, not like it's negative, because it's not negative. There isn't a negative. If one of them seems negative to you, then one or two things is happening. Either I'm not presenting it well, or you don't really understand the system, because this is more like being 5'11" or having blue eyes. This is what is. And it's how comfortable you are functioning in that role. And just Bree, can he take this one? Okay, the writing doesn't matter. It was my scribbles.
It's our last one.
And I re-scribbled up here. So, having said that, this becomes exploratory, and it's really fun and exciting to see a system and a model. And let me ask you, just because I'd like to know, how many of you would say you've done enough Enneagram work that you're really confident you know what your number is? There's some of you here that really know I'm a 7, and I know I'm a 7. Took me a while to get there. But I know I'm a 7. Yes.
I'm a 1.
You're a 1. Okay. And would you be willing to share your background? What training or what workshops or what you've done to know that you're a 1?
Some of us were interested in it back
Yep, that's me. Yep, that's me. Okay. And I did bring a couple of books, not to give out, but just, this is, I have a friend that writes books, Computers for Dummies, and this isn't for dummies, but it is the Enneagram Made Easy. And for people that really want to get into deep intellectual understanding of the Enneagram, this is not it, but it's a great starter. It's a great starter. It's a nice little book. It's by Baron and Wagle, and you can take a look at that if that interests you. And if this intrigues you enough to take it further, to either take some workshops or just go on the internet and look up Enneagrams, and you will find... Yes?
I just want to say that my daughter is in seminary, Lutheran, and they required, part of her psychological exam was to do an Enneagram, and that's how mm-hmm. I first heard about it. And mm-hmm. it was fascinating for her to discover her type.
Type. So if when you scored this, you came up with what a lot of people did, because some folks have come up and asked as well, I have two numbers that are high, or I have three numbers that are high. That helps you in the eliminating process, but it doesn't necessarily nail it. And what you can do is say, well, gosh, I come up a 6 and a 7, and I have a lot of scores high on that, and we'll look at that in a little more detail, that we're pretty high on that. But maybe that it can tell you, well, I'm not a 1, and I'm not a 2, and then you spend more time. And the actual teaching style that's used with this system is by exemplars. And we, with right now, having one person in the room, we're not, and Bree and I, we're not going to be able to do this. But this comes out of a Sufi tradition. So in the Middle East, they've been doing Enneagrams for at least 2,000 years. And it... working as a psychologist, you know, we think of this field and Freud and some other people and some wonderful insights and gains that have been made. But, you know, the whole field of psychology is maybe 150 years old or something. The Enneagram is a couple of thousand years old, and it's been used in magnificent kind of ways. Now, some of you might say this is heretical, and some of you might not, who knows, but there are some folks that would say that, and I have heard this when you hear folks that are steeped in the Sufi tradition, that Jesus really understood the Enneagram. And that's one of the ways he understood people so deeply, that he'd probably been to an Enneagram workshop, or maybe he taught an Enneagram workshop. But whatever it is, it's really complex, and we'll go through some fairly simple parts of it, and then there are other layers, and then there are other layers, and then there are other layers, and pretty deep, sophisticated manner, which there's no way in an hour we're going to do that. I'm hoping I can hook you into some interest by saying, well, I think this is me, because I like it with everybody else, everybody walking out of here today saying, well, I think that's my number. Now, other psychological things get tied into that. Like, for instance, I said that I was in a workshop with a man, Garth Alley, who's a therapist in Seattle, Washington, and he's really good at this. And he had me pegged as a 9. Well, once I spent some more time eliminating, working, and I'll talk what that means in a minute, I realized that what was happening is that I had some dysfunctional aspects of 2, which made me, as a 7, look like a 9. Well, once I got my arms around that, I could say, oh yeah, I can operate that way. So here's another thing to think about the Enneagram. As you come up with a number, and you walk out of here and say, well, I think that's what I am. I hope that's all you'd say. I think that's what I am. Because the person that raised her hand and said she knows she's a 1, she also said it was 4 or 5 years ago, and she did a number of surveys and eliminated and read things and got more and more and more and more comfortable that's her. So it's a process of working with that. And the way it's typically taught, and up until the early 1950s, it was the way it was only way it was taught, and that was by exemplars. And what they would do is have 9 people sit in few moments, I'm going to do a little thing where I'll be nine people and respond to a certain situation. But, and then the questioner or the Sufi-trained person in thousands of years ago would ask a general question. There's some seats up here. Okay. Ask a general question, and then you'd look at how people responded to that question. And clearly, a one will respond to that question differently the way than a two would, or that a three would, or that a four would. And you go through that hour after hour after hour of taking people who you already know what their style is, what their point is, and then you observe how they answered those questions. And for literally hundreds of years, actually into thousands, at least a couple of thousands, that's the only way this was taught. And there was an unspoken, because I don't think it was written, that no one would ever write any of this down. That just was verboten. You don't write any of it down. Helen Palmer wrote a book in the early 50s in which she wrote it all down. And from that point, there has been a proliferation of people like the test that we gave you as a psychologist named Riso. And what he did was write it down, and if you read his book, then he takes it into a lot of the positives and the negatives of the psychological processes. And many, many, many other people have written about the Enneagram at this point. One of the difficulties about people writing about it is that it seems so definitive, and you get the picture of the person that's writing it, and you put yourself into a particular point, and that's not necessarily the way it is. So, at any rate, it wasn't done for thousands of years. It's been around for a long time, and it's not that way now. Let's take a look at this little picture that's on here, taken out of the Enneagram Made Easy. And you'll see on the circles, there's a one over at the right. And what I want to say, and it's so easy for me, but maybe not for you because that wouldn't be your style, but it's so easy for me, and this will make sense in a minute, because I have a one wing, and if I get a little frustrated with something, I might go to that. Or no, I don't. Take that back. I said that wrong. That was when I used to be a nine, but I'm no longer a nine. There's a continuum, and on the continuum, there are very healthy responses to each position and unhealthy responses to each position. So the one is a perfectionist, and I think we all know that that's a wonderful, when we have people come to work at our clinic, I think it's wonderful if they're perfectionists. I mean, let's have them do a lot of the job. But it can also get in your way if you're a perfectionist. It can get in your way, and it can get in the way of other people if you become critical of the fact that they don't care as much about the detail as you do. So, again, there's the upside and the downside of any of these positions. And also remember that in any of these positions, all of us can identify some parts of some of the positions at some time. The two is the helper, and how nice is it to have people who are kind and helping and want to help you? And if you get into the dysfunctional side of the helper, you can get this terrible word that gets used in the psychology field all the time. You can become very codependent, not set good boundaries. And so there's that thing of where do you say yes, or where do you say yes when you shouldn't say yes? And the two has, I see somebody nodding, they know that one, or at least they know about that one. And we've got the achiever down at number three, and we've got the romantic at number four, and we'll talk a little bit more about those. And the observer at number five, and the questioner at number six, and the adventurer at number seven, and the asserter at number eight, and the peacemaker at number nine. So what we'll do is look to see which one of those patterns fits you the most. Now, tomorrow we're going to do some things on the Myers-Briggs, and there are many things that overlap and work together. And one of the things that we know about the Myers-Briggs is that when you are in a function that is part of your style, but it's at the part of your style that doesn't work very well, that takes a lot of energy. Doesn't mean you can't do it, but it takes a lot of energy to do it. So it's draining, and sometimes when we get drained, we get cranky or we act like we're in a different style because we've said yes when we may no, or the job has been piled on us too heavy, or so forth. So at any rate, that's where we are. Comments or questions about that? We're going to go. Yes, ma'am.
I wanted to go ahead and ask something. So to the degree that I have people want to do something from me, 2.5 million viewers every day, I find myself very low on the 9 department because so much is given away on a regular basis. So what if your life situation is of such that's stressing you in an area, or you're having to do what is not natural to you, or maybe not your natural gift, or it's not your natural gift, or also maybe you're getting stressed, your number may be kind of askew from what it really would normally be.
You may be operating differently because you have to.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it costs you. It does cost you a lot to have to operate. You know, organizational management people will tell you to do tests like this and the Myers-Briggs and do the best you can to have the people whose strengths are in a certain place in a certain job. But it doesn't always work that way. Either we rise up to a particular position which doesn't work for us, and I'm going to talk about a couple more examples of that tomorrow, but that's certainly true. And you may say, I want that job because of the prestige, or I want that job because of the money, or I want that job because I like it a lot, but gee whiz, does it drain me to be in that job? That certainly happens. And we're in it anyway, and we have to make some decisions about that. Yeah?
Can I add something to that? One of the things that is wonderful about the Enneagram, and one of the reasons why I think it's one of the more sophisticated tools that we have available to us around personality inventory, is that the very question that you have is addressed in the Enneagram, because not only do you have a primary point, but you also have a point that you disintegrate to under stress. Mm-hmm. And you also have a point that you integrate to when you are not under stress. So you'll be able to look at that later on. Bill will address that.
As in right now? Yes. That she did that on purpose. We just kept dog and pony show. Yes.
How much different would this be if I took this in a day when I had a hard week at work and was under a lot of stress versus taking it when I'm at home?
Well, that gets into a problem of testing. For instance, if you take the Minnesota Multiphasic Personality Inventory, which is the granddaddy of all personality tests, and it's got 567 questions, and theoretically, it asks every question 10, 15 times in subtly different ways, and you'd really get at that, and it wouldn't matter whether you were home or not. But when you're trying to make up a shorter test just to give somebody a quick picture, you have much less data, and so it may well be affected just by how you're feeling that day. So I'd say that definitely could be and it's a problem with any kind of testing. You take any kind of screening test, and it may just give you an idea, but it may be impacted by the fact that your dog died that morning.
So there's probably a range on any of these numbers.
On any of these. On this short little instrument. The best we're going to do is get you an idea. And it may absolutely nail it, but it may just give you an idea to take a look and say, interesting. Another thing is that in the literature, it suggests that you answer these questions in the manner that you were 25 and younger, because you're stronger in those positions. You know, we're not as integrated when we're, theoretically, as we get older, we integrate more of all of us, and so we're drawing much more of all the different types and different emotional situations.
That's what I was going to say, is I don't think that I have done the Myers-Briggs since I was in graduate school 30
I thought, I am sure that I answered those questions
differently. Yeah.
And I was going to ask you, how, if you, under the ideal, how often would you have people do these tests? I mean, ideally, would people do them every 5 years, every 10 years?
Yes. Depends on what your result, what are you looking for?
Yeah.
And the Myers-Briggs is basically a Jungian instrument, and the whole theory behind that is, not to date any of us, but at around 55, theoretically, if we're an evolved human being, we should have pulled all of those points together where we're much more able to access all of that. And if we're 22, we're liable to be fixated much more at a particular point. That's why they suggest you remember, if you can, some of us have a hard time, but remember, if you can, how things were when you were 25 and answer it that way. But, you know, that gets, I think what it really comes down to, and it seems sloppy, but it's the way it is, and it's the way this tradition is get an idea of where you think it is, see if it fits, and the parts that don't fit, begin to eliminate those and say, I think that's the way I am. And then you have to be careful, because once you get that nailed down pretty well, then it's difficult not to say, but I think that's the way Bree is too, and I think that's the way you are, and I think that's really not what this is all about. This is a tool of insight, and to get an idea of how do I operate better with you. And if I'm doing it the best, I'm telling you, this is difficult for me in whatever business or personal relationships I'm in. Well, if you turn over to the thing that Bree referenced just a moment ago, if you turn over about, and I know this is going to be with the little diagrams on here, this is going to be so much quicker than it's going to be helpful, but I'll state it anyway. There are 9 points on the Enneagram, which you go back to the original picture. There are 9 points. And if you look at the 2 diagrams that are here, and they're superimposed on the circle that's down below. And what that's getting at is your arrows. And this is where it begins to get a little more sophisticated. Because as I determine what I am, then by the Sufi tradition, what they've learned is that if I look at me as a 7, if you look at my little arrows, you will see a positive arrow going down to a 5, and you'll see a blank arrow, or I'm calling that a disintegrated arrow going back to 1. And what that says is that as a 7, when I'm doing well, I'm very comfortable with myself. I don't need to be around other people, because 5s are observers. 5s are analytical. 5s are separate from the world. Great observers of the world, but not so much in the world. And very comfortable being alone, but not lonely. If you're a 7 and you're doing well, you can integrate to a 5. I can disintegrate when I'm in that kind of stress that you mentioned, with 2.5 million people wanting to know what the weather's going to be or whatever you do. If I'm under that kind of stress, I can disintegrate to a 1. And guess what happens when I go to a 1? A 1 is a perfectionist. And I go to the negative side of 1. And why don't you people do it right? Why are you bothering me? What's wrong with you? So, when things aren't going well for me, that's where, as a 7, I would go. Now, I can pay attention to that and say, and I've learned some rogue lines when that happens for me. And Polly, my assistant at work, and some other people, I will say, I've got more on my plate today, and if I'm being unkind in the manner that I speak, I don't like that. Call me on it. But so I can pay attention to the fact that I got the alligators biting too much. And when I get at that point, I don't work very well. And I'm not the Lone Ranger there. So it helps then to get what your point is, and then pay attention to which way you go when things are working really well for you. and which way you go when things aren't working well. Understanding, and I'll keep reiterating that, that all of us have upsides and downsides to any one of our points. When you look at the seven, which is happened to be where I live, so I can speak the most to that, and we'll talk tomorrow about the Myers-Briggs. If you're an extroverted seven, which I happen to be, this is great for me because I'm drawing energy from everybody. I mean, some of you are nodding, and I'm trying to see if anybody's staying awake, and it's exciting for me to be involved in a process like this. If I were a nine, which my wife, who is sitting over there, she just took her picture this morning because she didn't want to have her picture up on the kiosk. She's a nine, and nines are very happy to stay right there. I don't want to present. I'll talk when you mess up. Well, she said that to me this morning. I'll step in if you're not covering it right, but I don't want to be center stage. But she's an introverted nine, and that's not a good or a bad, but that's the way our types are. So if you walk away with anything, walk away with, I've got an idea, we're not there yet, but I've got an idea what my number might be. But what's more important is to understand that although what your number is doesn't cover everything in your personality, and there are things that just don't seem to fit because of family of origin, because of
birth order,
because of the crisis that you're in at this moment in your life, because of a lot of things, but that there are certain types that we function in, and we function the most comfortably, and we function the best. Most comfortably and the best. We can do the other, but we don't do it easily. It's a lot of work to do the other. So, if you then turn over, now I'm going to confuse it a little more. Turn the page once more. So, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and we've got, so far, we've got one person. What's your name?
Kelsey
back there is a 1. And Bree is a 9, and me is a 7, but we haven't got you guys yet, but we're sneaking up on them. But you have the arrows where you go, and you can look to see, that also helps you in the process of elimination, because if you say, wait a minute, that says, if I'm a 7 and I go to 1, I don't ever go to 1. That's just, as I more and more I understand about one, and you're not going to get that from something this brief, but if you read like that book that I have there or other books, you'll get a much more detailed description of what a one is and does and how they interact and what they do. That doesn't fit. Well, maybe you don't have your point. Now we've got another, where it gets more sophisticated, we've got the wings. So the wings talk about what numbers are on both sides of me. So as a 7, I've got an 8 wing and I've got a 6 wing. So that's going to impact how I operate also. And my experience has been, and I don't know if this has been your experience, Bree, but my experience has been that for myself, I lean more on one wing than I do on the other wing. That's more profound for me. So I tend to lean more on the 8 side than I do on the 6 side. And I don't know, where would you say your wings are as a 9? So you go to some of both of those.
As a 9, I'm well balanced, Bill.
Okay. So you can see that we've got the point, then we've got the arrows, then we've got the wings. So, yes.
Okay. You say for your type, you know. What is that type? Does that mean that this, you have to say this, I guess my big score, overdeveloped is the romantic. So...
So that's a 4.
Okay, yeah. Okay, right. So the reality is, does that mean that that's my type and then those other things that come out to the side of my wing?
Four, you would either go to five or you'd go to three.
So it's the biggest number. Oh, God, I'm a mess.
Well, and lots of us say that, but remember that there are no messes.
Yeah, okay.
This is what is, and it's not a mess. Yes. And that often happens, and I'm sure there are people sitting in this room that scored it have three numbers that are high. So then what I think you have to do is understand more, and we'll go through a little brief description, ask more questions, and see which of those three high numbers seems to fit the most. Well, you have one in your mind. Do you want to tell us what it is?
I think
you think you're a nine.
Now,
let me tell you one thing about the nines that confused the guy that mislabeled me as a nine. I've been going to therapy school forever, you know, and therapists are trained to see both sides of issues. Well, nines see both sides of issues. A nine can't help it. You ask a nine, ta-da-da-da-da, well, it could be this way or it could be this way. You know, and nines, that's where they live. And so, but working as a therapist and being an exemplar and having someone ask me questions, I answered a lot like, looked like a nine. I'm not a nine. But do you see, so you begin to do a process of elimination and say, now you look at one and say, and not just you, but perfectionists are realistic, conscientious, principled. They strive to live up to their high ideals. Well, that all sounds wonderful. Ones can also be uptight and cranky and why didn't you do it right? And binary and so, you know, there's all sides of that. But you look and you say, well, is that me? Or is that where I go when I disintegrate and you look at your arrows? Helpers are warm, concerned, nurturing, and sensitive to other people's needs. I know more Mormon families that are wonderful to have as neighbors because they're taught to be twos, whether they are or not. So they're wonderful helpers, you know, at least the neighbors that I know about. Yes, sir?
Can you talk about page back, why there's only one triangle?
Why there's only one?
Nine is the only triangle, and there's not, okay. 1, 4, 7.
What'd you say?
You'd have to ask a Sufi.
But no, really, and it's not just three triangles. You're right. And why that's true, I don't know. I'm guessing that what somebody figured out thousands of years ago is that that didn't work in the system. And so they, because you can see this crazy configuration here that is superimposed on the bottom, but it's not three triangles. There's one triangle. And I can't answer that.
So,
I've got to go with that. That's an is. Yes.
Okay, I just want to clarify. So something this sort of brief, if you get a high score or two, which what it sounds like you really kind of need to do is go, okay, you can kind of start to guess, like, if you scored high on a two, well, maybe I'm actually an eight that was in a relaxed state of mind, or maybe I'm actually a four that was in a stressed state of mind.
Could be.
Or maybe I'm a one that leans heavier on a two, or maybe I'm a three that leans heavier.
Exactly.
So you kind of got it with something that's sort of brief and a one off.
Right.
And then how can a low score sort of help you figure out, or does it really not?
I think it's likely that with a low score, you're likely not that point.
Process of elimination.
Okay, and then so if you go to a point where you think you're really not, you can maybe you can even trace back some of those
exactly.
And kind of help eliminate.
Yes. And my experience with people sitting in the chair that you're sitting in is that it's usually pretty easy to eliminate four or five of them. But there's three or four that, well, maybe that might be me. And I'm sure that there's somebody sitting in here that took this test and nailed it and scored a high score, and that's really right where they live. And I, you know, I don't know about that. The main thing I want to keep coming back to is it's a fascinating process, and it's really all about understanding more about yourself. And if you're willing to do it, to look at, I'm I, I, I was. was going through some of the just the brief descriptors of that the romantic have sensitive feelings and are warm and perceptive. And the achievers, I skipped one, are energetic, optimistic, self-assured, and goal-oriented. Well, put somebody who's a three in a situation where there's no goal to reach, and they're going to have a difficult time to show up all the time because they're very goal-oriented. Yes, sir?
Is there an alternate word for questioner? I'm having a hard time matching questioner with the words that come after it.
For the six. Philosophical.
Loyalist.
What'd you say?
Loyalist.
Yeah, they're very loyal. But the questioner is, were we talking about the word questioner or the
yeah, the word questioner, the brief description of the nine types. Questioners
yes.
are responsible, trustworthy, and value, loyalty.
I've usually heard it referred to as a loyalist. I've not seen it before.
This person happened to put questioner, and it's not what we would say.
Yeah.
I think you've got to go to the exception.
But sixes can be loyal to a fault. You know, a six can get in a relationship with somebody, and it's not a good relationship to be in. Well, maybe it'll work, and maybe it'll work, and there's a wonderful capacity about being a strong loyalist, you know. But that can get you in trouble too. Yes, ma'am.
I was just going to say, my husband looked at this and he said, "Oh, look it, I'm almost overdeveloped as a nine, and you are almost underdeveloped as a nine, and so we do butt heads a lot." All the time, and so I.
Is there anything that's not definite about that?
No.
Now, what's romantic about that?
Nothing romantic about that. No, he just left. He vacated the place. But anyway, I can see.
Well, he's a seven, and he went to five, and he isolated. He doesn't need to be here. He's off by himself.
He's an observer, as he said. Sometimes then too, I mean with your marriages, you can have some, you know, serious issues, especially if you're under stress too, but you have these opposite, I'm thinking, you are in la-la land, honey, you've got to come back here. This is what we're dealing with right now, and he would rather go off and play and do something else.
Sure.
So.
But that's also the beauty of getting to know your partner through the eyes of the Enneagram, because you have much more compassion and understanding and tolerance when you see that they're under stress and they're going through the negative side of that point.
But if you can understand what stress is, because I don't think he feels that, but it's almost 45 years we've been together. That's a long time. You know.
Well, you're doing something right.
Yeah.
Right.
No, I think you've got to go to the exemplar.
Okay.
I'm going to run out of time. So let me take this.
She's ready to step in.
For me today to have Bill do this exercise as it was done through oral tradition for 2,000 years, because it's really easy to get fixated on the instrument of the test. You have to probably take 10 tests in order to even begin to get an idea using that as the vehicle to learn about this. And the Enneagram was intended as an adventure into self-discovery and to learn about yourself through the experience of other people. And so we don't have nine exemplars today because we haven't been able to pull nine people together in the village who have definitive ideas of what their numbers are. So I asked Bill to actually come up with a scenario that actually happened in the last month. And what I know about that scenario is that his response as a seven was very unique to the people that he was with. And if they had known he was a seven, it would not have surprised them so much how he handled the situation. So we went through it this morning and tried to think of how these different numbers might have responded in that exact same scenario. And it may not be what you would think of as a one doing it. I could tell him how I would have responded as a nine. And in a training where you go, where they're doing the purest form of teaching, there will never be a test given to you. Bill and I were trained in this 20 years ago, where we went to workshop after workshop where there were exemplars, as he's going to do today, being given a myriad of questions, and then people would answer them so differently that eventually you'd find yourself going, I can't believe he thinks that way. I would never do that, but I would do it this way. And you'd begin to relate more consistently with one of the numbers than the others, and more you did this, the more you would eventually say, wow, I must be this number, because over and over and over and over again, I can connect with the way this So it's considered, I think, blasphemy to even be giving this test out in terms of the real true purists who teach the Enneagram. But we don't have a lot of workshops to do up here on this, and it takes months, if not years, to really truly understand your type. So we're going to now have him do a scenario, as you would in the trainings where there are exemplars, and have him respond 9 different ways. And assume there's 9 different people up there. He's going to try and put on 9 different hats.
Also assume that as a 7, I might not respond. If you're sitting there and so far I think I'm a 6, or I think I'm a 9, or I think, well, that isn't the way I would respond. But remember, I'm a 7 responding as I think a 6 might. Mm-hmm. So it gets a little tricky. But at any rate, here was the deal.
And I would love to hear from Kelsey what you would say as a 1, even before he gets to say okay. And I'll certainly answer as a 9.
Okay, and I won't do those 2. All right, so we got to go quick. So we're on a backpacking trip with some clients. We did this at the end of June, just before July, and we hiked across the mountains and came into Stehekin and then took the boat down.
It was a therapy group.
It was a therapy group. We'd go out in the woods sometimes with our clients. So we got to the final point where we're going to take the bus. When you hike into a certain point, you have to take a bus down for the last 9 or 10 miles to Stehekin, or you don't catch the boat. Mm-hmm. So it's just not going to work, and you're stuck. So I organize these a lot, and there's a young man, a therapist, who worked for us, and he organized the whole thing. And I got to come along just to be, you know, senioritis is what I was. But whatever I was, I just came along. So we wind up at
Bridge Creek,
and there's no bus. And that part hadn't been arranged for.
Oh, dear.
So, you know, there's a lot of little things you have to organize. And that, Jonas, he's a Swedish guy. I mean, he's been with us for years, but he didn't organize that part. So now we're sitting there, and we've got an 8-mile hike. Maybe we can make the bus. Maybe if we run half the way, and maybe not, we're stuck. So, Kelsey, what might you do?
Wait a second. You got back home some groups you're supposed to be.
Oh, yeah, we're running therapy groups that night at 5:30. We got to be on the early boat to get over to Seattle because we got therapy groups coming in at 5:30. And we can, with a quick stop at Rusty's for a hamburger because we've been eating dried food, we can barely make it back if we get on the boat and get out of here. So here we are, we're sitting at Bridge Creek, we got about 10 minutes to do, or we got to start running. So, any idea what you might do?
Or what your feelings would be, your response would be, any just thoughts about the situation as a 1?
I would be really frustrated that whoever it was...
That's one of the words I wrote, frustrated.
I was wondering, why couldn't I have been in charge of this?
Because we'd have caught that boat, it might have been in charge.
If I had been the 1, this would not have happened.
Exactly.
So there's a 1 response. And it's a good 1 response. I'm going to go through these kind of quick because I still want to ask for names and numbers. Number 2, I think one way a 2 might is to feel bad for Jonas, the guy who didn't do it. And... you know, just to try to see what we could do, and but, you know, okay, he messed up, and the poor guy is feeling bad. And as a 3, I might brainstorm the problem and get the group to look at it and say, okay, what can we do to make this work? How are we going to, you know, and take over, because 3s are people that really move and want things to happen. And the 4... tends to be high drama folks, and the 4 might go into, oh dear God, what are we going to do now? And maybe even sit down in the dirt and say, oh, woe is me, but there'd be some drama around it. And the 5 would probably just step back and observe it and say, oh, okay, wonder what's going on here. And I wonder if they're going to get, I wonder if they're going to get it figured out. And the five would not be involved in the process, but would take a look at it. And the six would be really loyal to Jonas, and he'd be a standby your man. And I know you messed up, but I got my arm around you, buddy, and I got your back. And how are we going to get through this? And the seven would be, I don't know. And I didn't think about it, but I hopped over to the ranger that was over there and said, hey, look. And Bree calls it sucking and jiving and BSing, and I said, look, we're in a mess. And took all responsibility for, I said, I did it. I made a bad arrangement, but blah, 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 blah. And he looked, it was a sheriff. And he looked at the ranger that was there and said, oh, come on, we can help these guys. We got two vehicles here, and we got to go down lake anyway. She didn't like that at all. The ranger didn't, because she was not planning to go down there. But the sheriff is in charge, so he said, so we're shucking and jiving and talking. And I said, well, how can we do this? And pretty soon, we're in two different vehicles, and we're down, we caught the boat. And we made it back on time. And it didn't even dawn on me to do any of the other things. That was just, that's what sevens do. You sort of make that happen.
Get the job done.
Get the job done. And the eight would be, eights tend to be kind of bossy, you know? Eights kind of take over. And whether they have as much finesse to go over to the sheriff and say, hey, I'm really in a bind, and there's any way, ta-da-ta-da-ta-da, the eight might be telling the sheriff, look, you got to get us down there.
Right.
and the sheriff might be saying, and you might be having a problem because I'm not doing what you tell me. But at any rate, and the nine would be, I'll let you do the nine. And the nine would be, and this is the way Bree lives her life. What's the blessing in this? What can we learn from it? What do I get from what has just happened? And that's the word I hear from her constantly. What's the blessing? If it goes this way, what if it goes that way? And we wouldn't get out of the woods, but... So... Yes, sir.
I didn't see much of a difference between your action as a seven.
Just one second. While you're saying this, will you take these? Because Bree loves to see this, and we're running out of time, and I want to hear your comment.
I have the same question. Yeah. Go ahead.
I didn't see a difference between the three and the seven. On how to, that we got a problem, how do we deal with it?
I didn't know there were other people and vehicles there, and I wonder what those other people before number seven might have said differently if they'd known there were some vehicles and some people.
I didn't know that Bill knew there were vehicles till he went marching off to my
machine. I didn't.
Yeah. You didn't know?
No, I didn't know. I just started looking around and say, okay, how can we make...
I need to know that.
Yeah. But one of the things that gets to be almost painful, and I say it to Brielle, I will do what I do... kind of naturally, and she'll say, blah, 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 blah. And I think it's important. And sometimes it is, and sometimes it's not. But there's another sheet coming around. I want to make sure you've all got this little sheet.
No, we don't.
Okay. There should be some extras back there. Here comes some. And we're, okay. Just a second. I want to hold your questions. Based on just what we've said, do you think you have a number that might be you? Might be you.
Yes.
Out of curiosity, would you tell us what you think that number might be? I'd just like to hear, not all at once, but I see a three, and I see a three, and I see a three, and...
Yeah,
And a three, my goodness, we got some three. We could have had a whole gaggle of threes. How about back there in the corner? Any of you guys have an idea what you might be?
Maybe a seven.
Before
I came in here thinking I was a seven, the test told me I'm 4 or 6. 2, 3, 9, 5.
So you're a
5.
That adds up to 7. I don't know.
That's great. I like when you don't get one definitive high score because it's too easy just to latch onto that instead of going through the journey of figuring this out.
But this was when before or when we were 25.
Uh-huh.
As opposed to what I think we are now.
It is, and that's true, except what we like to think is that at 25 we had more of the upside and the downside of it, and now we're much more integrated and have lots more wisdom, and we've got more of the upside working for us. But we still, I was still a 7 when I was had a lot of pimples working. Now, so... I hadn't thought about this, but many years ago, I was a school psychologist, and in the school district I was in, we had to retest every kid, and it was a big school district, like 3,000 people. We had to retest every kid that was limited intellectually, and we had to give all these IQ tests. We're just skull-bending boring, and we had to retest hundreds of kids. So I got the 5 school psychologists together and said, all right, let's do, and I didn't think about this, but let's do one test in the morning. Let's go to lunch. There was this place that had a lot of shuffleboard and a lot of fun stuff to do. And then we'll write up in the afternoon, and then we'll go have a beer. But how do you say, I couldn't see. We did that for a year and a half. That's all we did. We did nothing but give IQ tests. I mean, I can tell you everybody's IQ in the world after 10 sentences. I hated it, so I had to figure some way to survive that, to make it, I mean, I have to do the work, but make it some energy around that. So say a quick word about the energy, would you, with the little last one?
It has nothing to do with this last one. I just said that about you, that you can look at a person's energy, and a 9 is sleepy.
Well, I think this does have something about the energy.
No, it doesn't.
Okay. Before the party and after the party.
We didn't get after the party.
We only got before the party.
No, just look around and it'll just show how different people might respond to going. And it starts with before the party, and it works its way through. That's all. You got one more question, and we have to be honest here because, yes. Go.
I found when you did this that I answered off of my wing instead of my preferred state.
Sure.
So then you have to kind of sort that out. Yeah.
That's why it's so wonderful, but it's so frustrating. Because when we do the Myers-Briggs tomorrow, right, wrong, or indifferent, you'll be more set in a particular score. Mm-hmm. On this, it opens you up to take a look at a lot of different things, hopefully. And if you walk away with that, you say, well, if I'm a lot of different ways, other folks are a lot of different ways too. And maybe that's important for me to know when you go back to you and your husband who are this way and this way, and my wife and I are this way and this way. And that's so important to understand. I'm still locked where I am. That doesn't change. But I'm living with somebody who's not in that way. And so, it's okay. We need to quit. It was wonderful. Thank you. But time says it's over.